This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. We cover lots of different topics on the program, going from blues saxophone player yesterday to sheriff's deputy today. There's a contrast for you. Lieutenant Brad O'Dell from the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me back.
Well, you're in here today because a month of June is Search and Rescue Month. Talk about, first of all, maybe just define what search and rescue is. For some people, it's this kind of vague, ethereal thing that just seems to happen.
Yeah, so in Oregon, the county sheriff is responsible for any search and rescue operation within their county. And when we talk about search and rescue, we're talking about rural search and rescue. So individuals that have been injured, lost, or otherwise need assistance while in the outdoors.
So this is different than situations where somebody goes missing and there's concern about where they might be. But this is specifically, you know, some folks should be in a general area, but nobody can find them.
Yeah, so we assist, you know, in municipalities. Anytime that there's a missing person, we will assist there. But the primary focus is those rural forested areas and providing search and rescue operations in those particular areas.
And Douglas County, boy, when you talk about rural and forested areas, we've got more of that than some states.
Yeah, it's incredible the amount of public land that we have, as well as these big tracts of private timber throughout our county. And so there's a lot of places for people to go outdoors and to explore and find themselves into trouble if they're not prepared, or, you know, sometimes accidents happen. And so that's why search and rescue is here.
And even though a lot of the technology has improved, I'm sure, especially in these areas, there's some places where if you get hurt or you're lost, you may not have cell service.
Yeah, absolutely. Douglas County, of course, is very rural. We extend from the Cascade Mountains all the way to the coastal range. We have all kinds of hills and valleys, and there are numerous places located within the county that don't have cell service. And so, you know, relying on a cell phone alone is not a good plan.
Now, how far back did search and rescue officially form? I mean, I would imagine in earlier years, sheriff's deputies that were on duty just kind of had that function while they were trying to do other things too.
Yeah, so back in the early 70s is when Douglas County officially formed a search and rescue team. That's when the likes of Wayne Stinson and Pete Wood really became part of the search and rescue organization. And we've just built it from there. You know, it started out with individuals that were just going out and searching by foot. And often when you go back and look through the search and rescue records at that time, their focus of their operations really had a lot to do with downed aircraft. There was a lot of downed aircraft at that time. But it's evolved, and we are in a situation today where we have multiple units of different types throughout Douglas County, and our volunteers are very dedicated to what they do.
Now, you've got a big list of volunteers, but you have some full-time staff too, right?
We do. So we have two full-time deputies that are dedicated to search and rescue operation. This is a organization within an organization. We have about 100 volunteers. And so as you can imagine, there are training requirements and maintenance components to equipment and vehicles. And so those two full-time deputies are responsible for ensuring that the program is ready and that Douglas County SAR is ready to respond at any point in time.
So for these volunteers, the training component, especially given our type of rural area here, has got to be especially important, because the last thing you want to do is send folks out and have more people that are lost.
Yeah, absolutely. So before a volunteer is allowed to go out onto a mission or respond to a call out, we have a set training program that they're required to complete. We back during COVID, we changed up our training program a little bit. And so what we've done now is we have a hybrid. So when a volunteer onboards with us, they have a list of courses that are all available to them online. They watch those courses and then provide feedback to the instructor of record, demonstrating that they understood the material. And then once they've completed those, then they're allowed to respond to in-county responses. We encourage them to continue learning always and working towards their search and rescue certification through the Oregon State Sheriff's Association.
And that's a requirement that they have that, right?
It is to be able to respond outside of the county. They have to have that state certification so that if they go to another county to assist, that receiving county knows that the individual has the basics of how to use a map, how to use a compass, how to survive outdoors should they need to, and a number of other topics.
And how do you find these volunteers? Because one element of these searches is that they don't always come, you know, Monday through Friday between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m.
Yeah, so we are extremely lucky here in Douglas County. We have highly dedicated volunteers, over 100. And those volunteers come from all walks of life. Some are retired, some are still in college, some are holding down full-time jobs. And so we just really encourage the volunteers to help where they can. They are required to complete a certain number of training hours yearly and respond to some missions so that they are current with the operation. But we track all of that and we help them to attain their goals and to achieve the educational and mandates of being a volunteer.
And along with this overall training, it looks like you've got sort of specialized training for at least some of the folks to put them in a real specific position.
We do. So we have various units within the organization. Some of them are a little more technical than others. So, for example, our mountain rescue team, there is a higher level of training that is required to be on that team. You have to have your basic certification and have some experience, but you also have to be able to have advanced capabilities to be able to go into some of these really treacherous locations like the top of Mount Thielson. If you've never been to the top of Thielson, it can be very risky in some places. And so we want our volunteers to have the highest level of training that they can and the capabilities to help those individuals when they reach them.
And I know that you use horses in this sometimes, too.
We do. So we have a couple of volunteers that have horses. Horses are extremely helpful during search and rescue operations, especially in wilderness or forested areas where we can't get motorized vehicles. And so the use of horses allows us to get volunteers in quickly, as well as medical aid, packing in equipment. And then sometimes our subjects that are located are unable to walk out on their own. And so the ability to have a horse to assist that individual in getting out can be extremely helpful. It's not a unit that we have a lot of current help in. We always are looking for more volunteers that would be willing to do that, understanding that they still have to complete the same requirements as someone that would be doing search and rescue work on the ground.
And talk about the 4x4 aspect in search and rescue.
So the 4x4 unit is made up of individuals that have 4x4 or four-wheel drive capable vehicles, mainly Jeeps and some other vehicles that are able to access roads and other areas, especially in snowy conditions, that you know, your standard pickup or vehicle can't get in. Those individuals are extremely helpful and dedicated to our overall mission.
So when somebody is doing that, they're using their vehicle for this. How does that work with insurance and things like that?
So the search and rescue volunteer has their own insurance, but the county also provides some level of coverage, including workman's comp. So when they're acting as a volunteer, the county does cover them in that capacity. We do ask them to ensure that their vehicles are in good working condition. And then when they assist us on a search and rescue mission, they can get their fuel reimbursed through the county for the search and rescue operation by working with a search and rescue manager.
Lieutenant Brad Erdell, the Douglas County Sheriff's Office. More when we come back. June is Search and Rescue Month. The interview, a podcast after one at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson coming up at 1 this afternoon. Republican candidate for Congress, Monique Despain, on Monday's Inside Douglas County. Lieutenant Brad Erdell, the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, with us today because it is Search and Rescue Month. And during the break, you were just showing me something that I want you to talk more about.
Sure. So the Oregon State Sheriff's Association is a nonprofit organization that assists county sheriff's offices with various things, including education and equipment. But through the Oregon State Sheriff's Association, you can purchase online a one-year or a five-year search and rescue card. And basically what that search and rescue card purchase does is it helps to fund search and rescue training, equipment, and missions across Oregon by contributing to that search and rescue fund.
So it doesn't really, this isn't like to help you if you get lost or something. This is just a way to contribute to the program.
Correct. This is a way just to show your support for search and rescue throughout Oregon. And again, the nice thing is your dollars are managed by the Oregon State Sheriff's Association and then distributed back out to the county programs.
And for the county, when you've got a number of staff, you've got budget requirements there, but also the training and everything else involved probably doesn't come cheap either.
It's not. So in order to become a search and rescue manager, you have to have an understanding of search and rescue operation in general. So we typically send people to a 20-hour course, which is an introduction to ground search management. And then we eventually send you to a one-week course on advanced ground search management. And that really is intended to teach a person how to manage a large-scale search through operational periods number 1 through 3.
And you've really got to have this down, because when these come up again, suddenly you're thrust into action immediately.
Yeah, when you answer the call for a search and rescue mission, and you're responsible for managing that mission, you're not only getting resources into the field, but you have to rely on statistics on where this individual may be located based on their behavior. So we refer to a book called Lost Person Behavior. And that book really has a lot of statistical data in it. So for example, an individual maybe with Alzheimer's or autism may react in this way. And so this book really helps us. And one of the things that we sometimes see or are directed to do is to check for areas of water. And so as a manager, you have to understand that. You have to deploy the people into the field, providing clear and concise direction on what the assignment is, and then having them come back and report. And then, of course, the documentation components of that, so that you can then redeploy those assets into other locations.
Now, there's some other specialties. We were talking earlier about, search and rescue, mounted search, and others. You've also got a dive team and a kayak team. Talk about that.
Yeah, so our dive team is mainly made up of full-time staff at the sheriff's office, individuals who have their diving certifications, and those folks really help us with rescue and recovery underwater, as well as evidence searches. And then the kayak team, we have found a need over time to be able to put people on water but have them move slowly across the water while searching and conducting search. And so it really is a great way to be able to get those assets on the water and do a thorough search, you know, along the shorelines and in the immediate area of the shore.
What are some of the other kind of specialized teams you have?
So we have a number. We've got, of course, we've got our ground team. We have our communications team. And I really like to talk about the communications team because this is these are folks that want to help their community, but maybe they don't have the physical capacity to be able to go and hike in the brush. And so this is a way for them to help us by documenting radio transmissions and relaying information between the individuals that are searching in the field and the incident commander.
And you really need to be able to keep track of everybody involved.
That's correct. Everything we do has documentation behind it. Even the searchers in the field, when I talk about documentation, they're carrying GPSs with them. And that GPS not only tracks them and allows them to know where they are, it also records a track that we're then later able to overlay onto a map and show exactly where we've been.
Wow. So the technology's probably shifted on this a lot, even in the time that you've been involved.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we started out with GPS, and so you have the GPS device that's actually keeping the track, and then you have to download it and upload it to the mapping software. But now everybody's got this nice little computer in their pocket called a cell phone, and you can actually download the application onto the cell phone, record your tracks that way, and they're live updated as long as you're in cell service to the map. So the incident commander can truly in live time see where the field units are.
And some of these searches, are they daytime only, or do you have folks out when it's dark?
All the time, day and night. So we use a guide really to determine what the urgency level is of the search. Now, you may have an individual who was day hiking and they had a pack, they were prepared, and they were ready to spend up to 24 to 48 hours in the woods. The urgency level for that individual may not be as high as someone who intended to go for the day but was ill prepared. And so we use this urgency form to determine when we deploy assets. But there are certainly times that when we get the call, we send people immediately, day or night.
And we think about it sometimes with harsher weather, but sometimes we've got, you know, temperatures in the 90s next week expected, even things like that when people are out and get dehydrated, which can lead to some definite mental confusion sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely. So the elements can be very rough. And that's why we encourage people to be prepared when they go outdoors. Probably the biggest thing is to make sure that you tell someone where you're going and what time you plan to be back. And the key is not to deviate from that plan. Once you've set that plan into motion, stick to the plan, because that person, should they need to call for help for you or you're overdue, they're going to send people where you told them you were going to be. So that's critically key. The second thing is making sure that you're prepared, that you have provisions. Do you have a lighter or some source of heat to start a fire? Do you have provisions as far as food and water? Do you have enough to get you through 24 to 48 hours? Shelter, communication devices. We talked about cell phones, and you can't always rely on the cell phone. You have to have some other form of method. Now, what's really nice about some of the newer phones is they are coming out with satellite capability, where you're able to actually send a satellite signal, but you should check before you go to make sure your phone is capable. Otherwise, there are a number of devices like InReach and others that allow you to send satellite signal and request help if needed.
Wow. Well, I know there are probably 100 different stories of situations, and some have good resolution, some unfortunately don't. And it's got to be tough work to be doing that.
You know, I give all of the credit to the volunteers and the managers that are doing this work. It's an amazing organization of people who really care about their community and really do it because they want to help. And, you know, it can take its toll. You know, they're not every aspect of search and rescue is a happy ending. And we make sure that our volunteers understand that, and we support them and encourage them to reach out if they need help. We have resources available, but that is a reality. And, you know, I always like to encourage people to understand that even though the ending may not be the ending that everyone wanted, we're still able to provide answers and resolution to the family.
So if somebody wants to find out more about the Search and Rescue Program, or maybe interested in applying for it in general, or maybe has ideas already about how they could help, how do they get connected?
Yeah, so the way to do that is just to call us at the Sheriff's Office. You can call 541-440-4450.
And is there online information about that too?
There is. If you go to dcso.com and navigate to Search and Rescue, there's a lot of information there, including an application.
All right, Lieutenant Brad Erdell, the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
1257 on News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.